The following program is sponsored by Benveo. This is Mind Your Business with Dr. Mark Lewandowski on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Spreading the excitement of entrepreneurial growth all over Oklahoma.
Whether you want to start a business or grow a business, Dr. Mark is your go-to expert.
This show is all about you, and it starts right now.
On News 102.3 KRMG.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business Show. This is your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. Thanks for joining us. We're very excited. Excited about all the things that are going on in the state of Oklahoma. There's so many great entrepreneurs. It is really exciting to see what's going on, especially downtown. There's so much energy down at 36 degrees north, and all of the people in the state that are helping to fund growth. It's just an amazing time. I'm here today with our producer, Debbie Redwine. She's an entrepreneur. Debbie, thanks for being here with us.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Okay, doing great. So I wanted to follow up. I'm super excited about being part of KRMG, and I listen all the time. And I was listening to Clark Howard on the way to the studio this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And Clark Howard was talking about the fact that one in every four medications that a person goes to buy at the pharmacy might be cheaper with cash than it would be with your PBM card. Now, your insurance benefit card, you know, that's the business I'm in.
Right.
I'm a founding member and one of the founders of two PBMs. One, we do prescriptions for hospices. Mm-hmm. So we provide prescription medications for hospices all over the United States. Dying patients need prescription drugs. And if a patient is in their bed and they're dying and they've got pain and the pain can't be managed, mm-hmm. they've got to have somebody like us, a PBM, that can quickly discontinue a medication, order a new medication, get the physician to do an electronic signature if it's class 2 narcotic, and get that medication to them right away. We can't wait 2 or 3 days. That dying patient needs pain medicine right away.
Right.
And that's one of the PBMs we own. Now, we own another PBM called Medalist, and so I wanted to weigh in a little bit on what Clark Howard said because I wanted to clarify. He was talking about how people could go into the pharmacy and the pharmacist is not allowed to disclose what the selling price is for the medication. They just are allowed to pick up the copay. And Clark Howard said that in many cases, you might just ask the pharmacist, is it cheaper for me to buy this prescription without the card? Now, those big PBMs, and let me clarify, because Clark Howard's correct on this, because the big PBMs, the big ones out there, they charge or they ask the pharmacy to charge the entire copay mm-hmm. regardless of the cost of the prescription. So let's say that your generic copay on your benefit plan is $10.
Right.
But the cost of your medication is actually $4. Where does the other $6 go when you don't know the amount of the actual cost of the medication, but you give the pharmacist $10? The pharmacist doesn't get to keep it. Mm-hmm. The big PBMs do a thing called clawback. And I need to call Clark Howard and tell him how this really works behind the scenes, because I've been doing this for 23 years.
Right.
So the way it works is the big PBM, like Optum, Express Scripts, these kind of big PBMs, the big monsters, what they do is that at the end of the month, they tell the pharmacist, hey, you collected $10 when we only owed you $4. I'm going to claw back or take back the $6 out of the money I owe you. And that's how the PBMs make enormous amounts of money on the ignorance of the population, of the people that are out there paying $10 for medication or paying $35 for a brand when the cost of the brand is only $27. They're not telling the member, hey, you could only pay $4, or you might pay $27 on a brand of medication. But there is a solution. You know, in this show, we talk about all the time that we should stop using the internet. I mean, I know we all buy things on the internet. Mm-hmm. But when you're driving past a local golf shop to buy and going home and then ordering that same equipment online, what you're really doing is you're hurting our economy. You're hurting the local small business guy.
Yes.
Well, I'm one of those small business guys, and I own a PBM. And what we did is we did it completely different. We charge a fee for our services, which are many, to our clients, but we give them straight pass-through. So if a member were to go in to the pharmacy and pay, and the cost of the medication was $4, even though their copay is $10, we still pass it through them at $4. So we tell the pharmacist, collect $4. So there are solutions. What Clark Howard was talking about was the big blockbuster PBMs. In fact, the reality is years ago, I sold my PBM to one of the big ones in New York, and many people have listened to my story, and back then I was a 15% equity owner, mm-hmm. and when the majority owner decided he wanted to sell, there was nothing I could do about it. Mm-hmm. So we sold the company, and I went to work in New York for almost 5 years. I flew out every Monday morning at 5:45 and flew home every Thursday afternoon, and it was a rough job. But we built a massive publicly traded PBM, which is now owned by Optum. And it was a big deal, and I know the tricks that the big PBMs play. So when I came back to Tulsa after 5 years in New York and we started a new PBM, we got on the dry erase board, and we said, okay, what would make a local PBM awesome? Mm-hmm. What could we do that's just game-changing? What's our value proposition? And the first one was Every Claim Every Day, where we look at every claim every day. And as soon as there's a problem, we're on the phone calling the pharmacy before the member even knows there's a challenge. Maybe there's a wrong date of birth, or they're putting in something wrong, or the prescription was rejected and it shouldn't have been. So we know that. But the other thing we do is that we do straight pass-through pricing, not transparency. And someday I want to talk a little bit more about law, but the reality is when a PBM uses transparent pricing in their media, in their marketing materials, what does transparency mean? It doesn't really mean that they're telling you everything, other than the fact that they're telling you everything in the contract. What transparency really means in the drug business is, I told you what we were going to do, but I buried it deeply in the contract. Hmm. We don't do that. At MetalistRx, which we have tons of Tulsa-based customers, a lot of the big employers in Tulsa use Metalist. And many of you in the local area have seen the Metalist sign on the wall at the Greenwood building just behind left field at the baseball stadium. And that's where our offices are.
Yes.
But what we do is straight pass-through. If the cost of the medication is $4.11, that's what you're going to pay. And the big help is on the high-cost medications. Now, Clark was right that one of every four medications you could probably buy cheaper just paying cash. But when you go to the big-priced meds, the branded medication or the specialty meds, that's when it gets really difficult for somebody to afford to pay for those medications. So what we did is we went to the markets and we found the foundations, the charities, and the pharma organizations that put away a bunch of money to help people who couldn't afford the cost of their medications. So what we've got is we have completely engaged, completely embedded in our system, an opportunity that when a person goes into the pharmacy and the cost of the medication is $2,000 a month, mm-hmm. and they say, goodness, I can't afford that. So what we do is we get them on the phone, we enroll them in a program, we get the medications for them, and pharma pays that for those medications.
Wow.
Now, why would they do that? Well, the reason they would do that is the big pharmaceutical manufacturers were getting a lot of trouble by Congress for the cost of medications. Mm-hmm. So before Congress legislated against the medications having free market pricing, mm-hmm. they said, wait a minute, time out. Here, don't legislate against us. What we'll do is we'll put $1 billion in a fund so that when people can't afford to pay for their medications, you can ask for help. Copay assistance is what it's called, mm-hmm. and we'll pay for the cost of the medication. And I'm sure pharma gets to write that off as a charitable gift, but we take advantage of that.
Sure.
So those of our clients in the state of Oklahoma and around the nation, those individuals that have a medication that is more expensive than they can pay, they call us, mm-hmm. or we reach out to them because we know the cost of the med, and we enroll them in this special system called Copay Care. Isn't that a great name?
Yes.
It's Copay Care. And so we enroll them, we get them engaged, we get them all set up, and then their medications are, for the most part, free.
Wow.
It's fantastic. So, we talk a little bit. There's a lot of bad press in the marketplace about PBMs.
Yes.
But not all PBMs are the same. In fact, Paul and I and Chris, who runs Metalist, what we decided is we wanted to be radically different than the big blockbuster PBMs. We didn't want to be the Walmart or the Target store of the industry. We wanted to be the small player that works with the pharmacy, that understands the needs of the patient, the member staying at the pharmacy, and provides a solution for them. And it is meant unbelievable growth for us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do you grow your business? And I'm giving you kind of a hint of what I'm going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. But before I jump into that content, Debbie, I want to talk about the fact that any of the listeners that are out there, that have been enjoying this show, and there are a lot of them. We have we've gotten so much feedback about the quality of the show and the great guests. Yes. We have every 3 out of 4 weeks on the show, we have an entrepreneur segment where we showcase a special entrepreneur in the state of Oklahoma. And it's been amazing who have been on the show and how great they are with their advice.
Wonderful guests.
I just want to make sure that people know that if you miss a show and you think, God, I'd really like to hear what else is out there, and I'd like to do it on my own time, go to drmarklew.com, and there's a host of materials. I mean, literally, I don't know, there's got to be near 100 pieces of content.
Yeah, like 53 podcasts. There's lots of information.
There's blogs, podcasts, things that you can listen to that were on KRMG. And you can download and listen to those anytime you want. Mm-hmm. But those are some unbelievable guests that we've had in the show.
They have been really good.
Real business leaders.
Yes.
It's been fantastic.
Yes.
I really want to promote that. That's drmarklew.com, DRMARKLEW. And I want to make sure, too, that if you've got a question while we're on the show, just go ahead and text that question to 95920. That's 95920, and that question will come right into our studio. And we may have the opportunity to read that online and answer that question. Today, we're going to be talking about how does a business grow? You're listening to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. In the studio, we've got Debbie Redwine, and we'll be right back after this break. We're back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. In the studio with me is Debbie Redwine. Debbie, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
We're doing great. We're having a great show. I want to do a little shout out. I want to talk about somebody who's really doing something special. The Tulsa Girls Art School. That's called TGAS. They are an organization that helps girls from third grade all the way through high school develop their art talent. They're here in Tulsa. They work with mostly girls in North Tulsa Public Schools and West Tulsa Public Schools, and they provide art supplies. They provide a place for them to do their art and transportation to that location. And every year they have a big fundraiser, and it's coming up. And I wanted to take a time to say thank you to TGAS and also promote. I want to do a shout out to the fundraiser. It is October 20th, and they're looking for people that would want to come, people that love art. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I are both artists.
We are.
My house is actually full of art from Debbie Redwine.
Some of my art.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden you go from being very talkative to saying nothing when they brag about your art. So, I had the wonderful opportunity of being under Dennis Rutledge at Memorial. Mm-hmm. He was an art instructor. He was unbelievable. Having great art instructions really develops the talent and the appreciation of art for young people.
Yes,
and so this group, TGAS, is this very special organization that raises money to pay for supplies and space and transportation for girls that want to develop their art talent. And it's from third grade all the way through 12th grade.
Wow.
And at the fundraiser, they sell their art. There's silent auctions. There's public auctions. There's the fundraiser for the table. And 30% of all the girls' proceeds go into their scholarship fund for them personally.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know that last year there were people, one of them, my business partner, Paul, that spent $1,500 on a painting from a girl in 11th grade.
Wow.
And $500 of that dollar amount went into her scholarship fund.
Oh, that's great.
So far, this group, TGAS, has put 100% of the graduates of TGAS into college.
That's fantastic.
100%.
That's amazing.
Now, the one thing we don't know is how long they stayed or do they go to graduate school. I don't know that number. But this organization is fantastic. And Sarah and I are going to buy a table and we're going to be there. And if you're a person like Debbie Redwine or myself and you love art and you have appreciation for it and you're heartbroken that today's schools don't have great art programs.
No, they don't.
Because being a cultured individual, being able to go to New York and say, I want to go to the great museums. I want to see the art. That desire is built because you have knowledge and appreciation for art.
Mm-hmm.
And we're losing that.
Yes.
And I'm afraid of that. So I want to say to the TGAS people, thank you for what you do. And we'll be there and we'll have our checkbook. So I'm very excited about it.
Right.
So today's show, I was just talking about how Clark Howard had done a little talk about PBMs, and we built a PBM 18 years ago to do exactly what Clark Howard was saying needed to be done. It needed to be a PBM that was based on the need of the member, not padding the pocket of a big major organization.
Right.
And the reason that we came up with our value proposition is because of a thing called empathy. Empathy, and today we're going to be talking about what makes a business grow. And I'm going to tell you, number one that we're going to talk about is empathy. Mm-hmm. Empathy for for the person that comes in. Empathy for your client or your customer or your patron, whatever you call them. But empathy is this concept. It's different than sympathy. So let's imagine that you're walking down a dirt road and you look down into a ditch, and way down in the ditch is a person. Mm-hmm. Sympathy says, wow, that must be awful to be down there.
Right.
That's being sympathetic.
Yes, it is.
That the plight of the other person is terrible. But empathy is, I'm going to climb down there with you. I'm going to find out what it's like to be there with you. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to help you get out. Right. And that's a key to business growth. And I find that when I'm really excited about a restaurant, a shop, an organization, a service vendor, a bank, an accounting firm, a law firm, the ones that have empathy, that really listen mm-hmm. to their client and say, tell me more. Give me more information. What else are you going through? Those are the people that are fantastic. Debbie, you were an unbelievably successful store owner. For 30 years, you had the biggest baseball card and sports memorabilia store in the United States.
Well, one of
tell me about your empathy.
Well, same thing. I mean, you have to listen to people when they come in, and you have to hear what they want. You have to hear what their situation is. You have to know if they're looking for something for someone else or they're looking for something for themselves. And you have to really say, okay, well, if I was looking for something for my brother or my dad, what would I be interested in?
So how do you get that out of them? So, you know, we talk about, we know you need to have empathy.
Yes.
And you need to know that information. What was the key for you to get that information out of them?
Asking questions and listening to the answers, and then taking the answers and spreading them out and trying to figure out what that person really wants. What's the best fit for that person? Whether it's pharmacy or sports cards, it doesn't really matter.
So think about it. This could work for any business.
Yes.
Let's say that your car breaks down and you take it into a shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the shop owner ought to do more than say, all right, what's wrong with your car? All right, we'll be back. We'll check it out and
go. We'll call
you. What they really ought to be able to say is, wow, that's really frustrating that you broke down.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at it. We're going to examine it. We're going to make sure that it's ready when you go. And if it ever happens again, please call us, because we'd love to serve you. I mean, that's...
And we're going to check 50 points while we have your car in here, just to make sure when you leave, everything's working like it's supposed to be.
I just don't understand why entrepreneurs aren't more vocal, don't have more conversation, don't experience more empathy with their client.
Well, the good ones do, and that's how they're so successful, I think, don't you?
I really do. And I think clarification mm-hmm. and asking more is a key to empathy. In other words, to say, say somebody calls you and they're very frustrated with your service.
Right.
You know, they're going to vent. Mm-hmm. And what we really want to do naturally is get off the phone and quit getting our rear end chewed.
Right.
I mean, it really is no fun.
It's never fun.
It's no fun to get beat up by your client.
It's not.
But the hardest part is to be able to say, okay, I'm so sorry you're going through it. What other experience have you had that you're not happy with?
Right.
That's a tough question. That separates the big boys from the little boys, the big girls from the little girls.
Yes.
It takes a brave entrepreneur to say, what else can I do to help you? Are there anything else?
Or what else are you not happy with? What are you not satisfied with that we can change to make your life better?
And to do that, you know, going from just barely listening to really caring mm-hmm. changes people drastically.
Yeah. Because there's not much customer service anymore. Nobody cares. Everybody's in a hurry. So the people that slow down and take their time and listen to their client, their customer, their member, whatever it is, that's going to make a big difference. That's the people that are successful.
You know, I stay in hotels every week, and I'm quite a traveler.
Right.
And years ago, I read an article. It was a study mm-hmm. that the hotel industry did about people, about satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that when a hotel guest had no problems at all in their hotel stay.
Yes.
They had only a fair level of loyalty to that hotel chain.
Interesting.
When somebody had a really bad experience, they had a fair level of loyalty. But so when someone had a problem and the hotel hurried to solve the problem, the loyalty went skyrocketed high.
Because they showed they cared.
They showed they care, and then
they
could respond to the problem with an answer, with mm-hmm. a fix.
So the person leaves, not only that the problem was solved, they're satisfied.
Yeah.
Wow.
Someone cared about me. They listened. They solved it. I love them.
Yes.
So think about this. Most of us believe that, wow, we do a great job servicing our customer. Mm-hmm. What they really want is us to listen to them.
Yes.
That's our first point on how to make our business grow. You're listening to the Mind Your Business Show. This is KRMG 102.3. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. I want to do a shout out. I wanted to say a special thank you to our sponsor, Benveo. Benveo is a third-party administrator here in Tulsa, and you know what they're doing? They're creating and launching and administering health plans for small employers. It really is important. You know, as a small employer,
yes,
that finding health care in today's market is really difficult.
Next to impossible and very expensive. Normally.
You know, you can find it as long as you're healthy.
Right.
And as long as you've got deep pockets, mm-hmm, you can pay for that.
Very deep.
So the question is, why is healthcare so expensive for a small employer?
Why is it?
Well, I'll answer that. Thanks for asking. So the reason it's so expensive is that everything is covered. You know, the funny thing is people think, you know, this doggone insurance of mine, nothing is covered. It's no good at all. No, that's not the case. Everything is covered, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What the challenge is who pays for it.
Right.
So in today's marketplace, there are many high-deductible health plans. And in a high-deductible health plan, the member starts paying at zero and might pay all the bills to $5,000, and then it kicks in.
Yes.
But everything is covered. I mean, you know, from cancer to
pregnancy.
To pregnancy, to any kind of blocking and tackling things that you would do with your doctor, mm-hmm, even to a transplant.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is covered. And those kinds of events can be hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million.
Right.
So there's a lot of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it's so expensive is because people are sick. So what Benveo's been doing is working on a group of products that are almost like a shopping cart, mm-hmm, that allow somebody to go in and select what they need and not have to pay these ridiculous prices with the big cares to cover everything in the world.
Right. So they can pick and choose what they want and then just pay for that.
Yeah. What if you're a group of young men operating a brand new business and, mm-hmm, you're in your 20s? You're going to have very few claims. There's,
yes,
no reason that you should be paying $800 a month for a fully insured program when what you need is a few office visits and then a catastrophic policy.
Exactly.
So what you want to do is you want to find a vendor that will help you select, almost like a shopping cart model, exactly what you need. And Benveo is exactly that company.
Without way over what you need.
Now, Benveo is also a third-party administrator that provides they administer the health plans for big organizations as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've really done as entrepreneurs is say, you know what? There's a missing solution in the marketplace. And that solution is, how does the little guy afford to pay for healthcare for themselves and their employees?
That's a good question.
You know, today we're talking about how does a business grow? And one of the challenges or one of the hindrances of growth is you're starting to make money as an entrepreneur and you want to hire people. But in order to hire good people, many times you've got to offer healthcare benefits.
Yeah.
And it's cost prohibitive. So Benveo has got solutions. So if you're looking for those kind of solutions so you can grow your business and you can afford healthcare for not just your employees, but their families, I want you to call Jonathan at Benveo. That's BENVEO.com. And we really thank them. Thanks so much, Jonathan and the team.
Absolutely.
So today we're talking about how do you make your business grow? And this really came out of an email that was sent to us, mm-hmm, from Daniel. Daniel, mm-hmm, said, how do I get my business to grow? I'm in my sixth year and it seems like I've plateaued. And so what we started with, Debbie, talking today, is that a really good entrepreneur who wants their business to grow starts with empathy.
Yes.
And that empathy is the ability to listen and truly care and ask questions and get clarification before you try to solve a problem. Really listening to your customer does a couple of things. It helps you provide a solution to them then, and it also tells you where the marketplace is going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that people are afraid of is feedback. You know, you see all the time, you see when somebody gets a receipt and they say, hey, there's a survey on the back. Will you fill that out? Well, many times those receipts are, you know, seven pages
yes,
long. You know, they're 27 inches long. I never do it,
mm-hmm,
because I don't have that much commitment to that one particular store. Because really what I want to, in some of these massive organizations, I wonder, is my feedback really going to make a difference? But as I told you before, I'm a hotel. I go and stay in hotels, and they send me something every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I take about 10 or 12 minutes every week to fill out the surveys because I really care. I want my stay to be better.
It matters.
It matters to me as the patron.
If everybody says, oh, I don't need to do this, then they'll never get any feedback and they'll never be able to improve the things that are bad or keep doing the things that are good.
So why is the entrepreneur afraid of feedback?
Fear of failure, maybe?
You know, I think for many entrepreneurs, they've gotten their heart and soul invested in that business.
Yes.
And it's really personal. Mm-hmm. You and I know as entrepreneurs, it's really personal.
It is.
And you've done, you work Saturdays and Sundays, up early, working late, and you're trying your very best to create this great company, and then here comes somebody, and they give you crappy feedback.
Yes.
It's really not crappy because it's great. Mm-hmm. It's feedback, but it hurts your feelings.
It does. If somebody leaves a Google feedback and it's negative and you've tried so hard and then you start wondering, who was that person? What happened? What day did they come in? Because you think everything's going wonderfully, but really sometimes you need people like that to pull you back and make you stop and look.
You really do. We have a concept in our offices called wearing your steel-toed boots. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got an old pair of boots I bought years ago from Wolverine Boot Company, and I need to send it back to them because I've owned them for 30-some years, and they're falling apart. Oh, no, they're a mess now. But they're 30 years old. I've worn off all the tread, and they're so ugly and beat up that I think Wolverine would love to see them.
Probably.
But the thing is, you need to have the concept of having steel-toed shoes on so that no one's there. So when people give you feedback, it doesn't hurt your feelings like stepping on your toes. Right. That was my point.
It's hard not to take it personally.
It really is hard because your ego is involved in your business. Right. So I want to talk a little bit about feedback because it's so important to ask for feedback and truly listen. I believe that the next great idea for you as an entrepreneur may come from the feedback you're getting. And if you're not asking for that feedback, you're missing a great opportunity to have an opportunity to grow.
I totally agree with that.
You know, here's the challenge with us. And you mentioned you're on Google and you go and you read a survey and you think that is so unfair and that's so realist, so disappointing.
And you're devastated.
Mm-hmm. But you have to remember that a sample of one does not a whole make. Right. However, you got to listen to that one. And you got to say to yourself as an entrepreneur, okay, how can I improve? What could I have done to have a better communication? And realize that this is really important for the entrepreneur to realize. A happy customer is not necessarily a loyal customer. They're happy, but they'll shop around.
Yes.
An angry customer who's yelling and screaming, you've not lost that customer. As long as somebody's yelling, they're still engaged.
They still care, or they wouldn't be emotional about
it. That's right. Mm-hmm. So think about it from their perspective. They've invested in this relationship with you as a business owner.
Right.
And they're unhappy, or they feel like there's a difference between what they've invested and what they're getting back. That's the source of angry.
Yes. And if it's just like relationships. If they didn't care, they wouldn't get upset. They'd just go someplace else. But they care. So they're coming back to you as the owner of the business because they want you to fix it because they like doing business with you.
As long as they're yelling at you, as long as they're still unhappy,
there's still a chance.
They're still a customer.
That's exactly
right.
It's
when they've gone quiet. When they go silent,
it's over.
When they become a ghost, mm-hmm. it's done.
Yes,
they've
it is.
Moved on and they've cut you off.
They have.
So what you've got to do as an entrepreneur is you've got to make sure that they're not cut off. Keep the communication.
Keep engaging.
The very first company I ever took over and tried to turn around, it was a host of mistakes. Every day we showed up, it was like turning over a rock,
mm-hmm.
and there were five new snakes under that rock.
Oh, wow.
You've got to be kidding me. When are these evil snakes of errors and mistakes and problems going to go away? And so I actually wrote a book called about mistake recovery and client retention.
Oh, that's great.
And it's on the marketplace under somebody else's name because I ghost wrote it and
rats.
I gave it away. I actually sold it to somebody else. So somebody else has that published book. But it's a book about mistake recovery and client retention. It really talks about the fact that as long as somebody's angry with you, mm-hmm. you still have an engaged client.
And that is so true.
And what your sole goal is don't let them go silent. Keep at it. And don't let your feelings get hurt. You know, feedback is really important. When you ran your store,
mm-hmm.
how did you get feedback?
Well, at the beginning, you would just go off what people said. But as we got a Facebook page, an internet page, and a website, then you start getting Google or Yelp feedback. And some people would say, this is such a great store. It's a family store. They really care. They've got such great inventory. And then other people would say, oh, I went in there and their prices were so high and everything was awful and it was clean, but they're not very friendly. And then you get your feelings hurt. But what you have to say is, okay, 20 people come in, one person thinks that, and then 9 people are happy, and the other people that say, I wish they'd carry a little more of this, or I wish they might carry that, that I didn't see any of that. That's where you get your ideas to improve your business, is from your customers.
Years ago, when I was working on my PhD, I taught a class at the business school in the marketing department, and it was on consumer behavior. That was the course,
oh,
and
it
was fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
And one of the things I remember most about that course is that people are 12 times more likely to, if they're angry, to put feedback on a website than they are if they're happy. So you get 100 people, and if they're angry, they're going to tell 1,200 people
right.
that they're unhappy. If you get 100 people that are really happy, happy people only tell one other person.
Right. They're satisfied.
You've got to deal with the really frustrating reality that people are eager to be angry and only subtly motivated to tell somebody else that they loved you.
Wonder why that is.
Well, I don't know, but I don't really
but
like it.
But it's true. It is true.
When we come back in just a moment, we're going to talk about the source of feedback. What are the tools you can use to get really great feedback for your business?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that we have the courage to listen to feedback.
Yes,
I agree. On my dry erase board in my office, one of the things I said is, this year, one of my goals, have the courage to listen to feedback and the intelligence to do something about it. That's what we're really working at on.
That's brilliant. That's a great statement.
You're listening to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. Today, we're talking about how to make your business grow. We've been talking about empathy and feedback. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the sources of feedback. You're listening to KRMG 102.3. We're back on the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. In the studio, Debbie Redwine with us. Today, we're talking about how do we make our business grow? And we started by talking about empathy, the ability to really listen to your client, your prospect, your customer, your patron, whatever you call them, but to truly listen to them and then get feedback in other ways. Don't just listen, but ask. Draw things out. And don't be afraid of the things that hurt your feelings, because everything that you try really hard that somebody doesn't like, it's going to have a chance to hurt your feelings.
Yes.
But I want to go to this. Luck is not a strategy. We talk about this all the time on the Mind Your Business Show. Luck is not a strategy. You can't just open a restaurant, open a shop, open a business, and hope things go well. That is not how it works.
No, it is not.
Luck is not your strategy. So you really have to listen and make iterative adjustments to your business.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit about sources of feedback. We're going to talk about 4 different sources of feedback today, because I really believe getting feedback is important. In fact, it's been said that feedback is the breakfast of champions. The people that can really get feedback and are eager to hear it and quick to listen and don't get their feelings hurt, just keep going, just keep absorbing. Those are really the champions in their business.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be making little iterative adjustments to make people happy.
And they'll react to what they hear and they'll fix it.
They sure should.
Mm-hmm.
They're really hopeful there. So let's talk a little bit about online survey requests on the back of receipts. This is very common with the big stores, and you've got a chance to win $500. You've got a chance to win $1,000 or shopping. You know, I'm not really highly motivated by those.
Me either.
And I'm a big survey guy. I like doing surveys because I think it's important for the companies I go into
right.
who serve me. I want them to be better.
Even restaurants, we'll fill out, like Chewy's has a thing that you can fill out, and we always fill it out, especially if the service is good. We fill it out just to let the manager, the owner know, hey, this guy really was great.
I think one of the most successful surveys you'll get is the one that goes inside the packet when they bring you your bill at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
People are eager to fill that out and send that in, because you've got a pen right there. You're already sitting down. That's a really good opportunity. But here's what I'm a little frustrated. I don't understand why restaurants, as an example, don't ask for feedback in the form of a survey and offer a free dessert. I just don't understand why people don't give more things away. Do you know how much money it costs a business to get a new customer through advertising, through promotions, through marketing efforts of all types,
right.
all the social media and the digital marketing things that we do to promote our business? It costs so little to do something special to that customer right then and there.
And you got them right there.
At your store, you used to give away packets.
Yeah.
Give something to kids.
Yes.
You took care of people.
Free grab bag. Here you go. Or if somebody came in and bought a box of cards and they just didn't even get close to what was supposed to be in the box, you might just say, here, grab another pack.
You know, I was talking this week with my friends that own Kia restaurants in Tulsa, mm-hmm. and they're very good at when somebody's got a special event, or even if they just have a big ticket item,
right.
or they see them often, mm-hmm. is they'll just pop over and say, hey, we've got a brand new dessert. We're super excited. Here, I want you to try it and tell us what you think. This is free. This is just because we love seeing your faces.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
That is nice.
So let's talk about, there's another one. Okay. Online surveys emailed to the individual. That is more successful than the back of the receipts, because it gives it. Here's a person that's opening an email right then, and right there, mm-hmm. they've got an opportunity to fill out a survey. The big challenge is that we don't know how long that survey is going to take.
Right.
So when I'm advising people, I tell them, make sure that the patron who's answering the survey knows how many questions or how long the survey is going to take. In fact, Seth, my son's company, at the bottom of bottom of his website, it shows how far they are along in filling out the survey.
That's a good
so
idea.
They know they're almost done. Mm-hmm. That's key, because those are inexpensive and they can be really valuable.
Yeah.
The ones that I like the most are the follow-up calls. I mean, in our business, we do a lot of outbound calling. In fact, we do 4-to-1 outbound calls mm-hmm. than inbound calls, because mm-hmm. we know, and then this is a risky strategy, and it's costly, it's expensive, but this gives us really good feedback about how we're doing. Are people satisfied? Are they thrilled with what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
The one that I think is been used a lot in the past, but not used as often now, but can be very successful, is something mailed to a person's home with a return address, self-addressed stamped envelope. It's expensive,
yes.
but it's very successful, because you can get somebody to, if you can get somebody to sit down and really fill out that questionnaire, they're going to be very loyal to you,
mm-hmm.
but you are spending a lot of money on postage, the work it takes to get an envelope out, the questionnaire. Now, I want to give everybody a little trick. I like those because I can code them. You know, at one time I was a PhD student and we had to do dissertations, and you weren't allowed to code like gender or income.
Right.
You had to do a blind, but there were keys to doing it. Like the way you worded the welcome letter. On one, you could say, dear valued customer, and you know, those are your high net worth clients.
Right.
But the same one, you could say, dear special customer, and those are all your female clients. Or you could say, dear special guest, and those are all your male clients. So now they don't know that you're coding the survey.
But you can track them.
But you can track them, and you know that women are much more likely to fill out a survey. Men are more often unhappy. You know, those are the kinds of things you'll really learn.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're smart and you're strategic, now going back, luck is not a strategy.
No, it's not.
You don't just throw out a survey. You've got to build a survey, get somebody who really knows this stuff to look at it, and then really have a strategic plan of how you're going to go about gathering data.
With the results.
Because gathering data and then making iterative adjustments is how you grow your business.
Yes.
Daniel, who sent us an email mm-hmm. that said, help me. I'm 6 years into my business. I'm plateauing. I don't know how to make it better. I know that Daniel, from my talking to him, he's not doing a good job listening. He has no feedback strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not doing a good job understanding why are people leaving his business and going to his competitor.
Yeah.
There are so many more of these materials on drmarklew.com. I want a special thanks to Benveo. And I want to do a shout out and a thank you to T-Gas, the Tulsa Girls Art School. Thank you, Debbie Redwine, for being in the studio.
Thank you.
This is the Mind Your Business Show. You're listening to KRMG 102.3.